John chapter 7. After this, Jesus traveled to Galilee. He didn't want to travel in Judea because the Jews were trying to kill him. The time for the Feast of Tabernacles was near. So Jesus' brothers said to him, "Leave this place, go to Judea, so that your believers will see the things which you're doing. Nobody hides what he's doing if he wants to be famous. Since you're doing these things, let the whole world know about you." Because not even his brothers believed in him. Now it seems that some of them did in the end. But it's so painful, as Jesus said, to be a prophet that is not recognized in your own country and in your own family. And so Jesus went through all this thing about rejection by family and rejection by those whom you really assume are definitely going to believe you. And this is an example of where Jesus completely had human nature and completely went through all the experiences which we go through. And this is why, because he wasn't God himself, he had our nature, therefore we can draw so near to him and he can draw so near to us because he was truly human. Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready for you. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify of it that its ways are evil. You go up to the feast. I'm not going to this feast, because my time has not yet come." He clearly expected that he was going to die in Jerusalem at a feast, which he did. He died at a Passover. So Jesus, having said this, remained in Galilee. But after his brothers had gone up to the feast, Jesus also went, although he didn't go up openly, but as it were secretly. The Jewish authorities were looking for him at the feast. "Where is he?" they asked. There was much talk about him in the crowd. "He's a good man," some said. "No," others replied, "but he's deceiving the people." But nobody would talk about Jesus openly because they were frightened of the Jews. The feast was halfway through when Jesus went up to the temple and began teaching. The Jews were greatly surprised and said, "How does this man know letters when he has never been to school?" So although Jesus was poor and therefore he had to work rather than going to school, he was so clever because he was the Son of God that therefore he was very advanced in working things out. And that is, I suppose, how he figured how to read, taught himself to read. Jesus replied, "What I teach is not my own teaching, but comes from God, the one who sent me. Whoever wants to do what God wills will know whether what I teach comes from God or whether I'm speaking in my own name. A person who speaks in his own name is trying to get glory for himself, but he who wants glory for the one who sent him is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Moses gave you the law, but none of you really keep the law, so why are you trying to kill me?" "You've got a demon," the crowd replied. "Who's trying to kill you?" Of course the Jews were trying to kill Jesus, but they tried to tell Jesus that he was crazy. Jesus replied, "I performed one miracle, and you're all amazed. Moses told you to circumcise your children, although it was not Moses, but the fathers who began circumcision. And so you circumcise a child on the Sabbath. If a child is circumcised on the Sabbath so that Moses' law isn't broken, why are you so angry with me because I have made a man completely whole on the Sabbath?" Because circumcision was cutting something away from a man, but Jesus had made a man completely whole. "Stop judging by the appearance and judge truly." Some of those of Jerusalem said, "Is not this he, the one whom they are trying to kill? Look, he's talking openly, and they say nothing against him. Can it be that they truly know that he is the Messiah? But when the Messiah comes, no one will know where he's from." And we all know where this man comes from. Well, they thought they did. They thought they all knew that he came from Nazareth. Well, actually, he was born in Bethlehem. As Jesus taught in the temple, he said very loudly, "Do you truly know me, and do you truly know where I'm from? I have not come in my own name. He who sent me is true. You don't know him, but I know him, because I came from him and he sent me. Now, as I've said before, to be sent from God is not the same as meaning that he literally existed before he was born. Because the same language is used of John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God, literally from besides God. That doesn't mean that John existed up in heaven before he was born, or that he floated down through the clouds. And so when those same terms are used about Jesus, it doesn't mean that he literally existed before he was born. Then they tried to seize him, but nobody laid a hand on him because his hour was not yet come. But many in the crowd, that is the ordinary people, believed in him and said, "When Messiah comes, is he going to perform more miracles than this man has done?" We still get the impression that their belief was very weak. They were sort of saying, well, yeah, we believe in that he's Messiah because, well, when Messiah comes, is he going to do more miracles than him? So in John's Gospel, you find that people are said to have believed when it would seem their faith was still pretty weak. The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering these things about Jesus. Simple lesson, whatever you whisper gets out. So the Pharisees and the chief priests sent guards to arrest Jesus. Jesus said, "I will be with you just a little time longer, and then I shall go to him who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me, because you cannot go where I will be." The Jews said among themselves, "Where is he going to go that we shall not find him? Will he go to the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? He says that we will look for him, but will not find him, and that where he goes, we cannot go. What does this mean?" On the last and great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "Whoever is thirsty should come to me and drink. As the scripture has said, whoever believes in me, there shall break forth streams of bubbling water from deep within him." Jesus said this about the Spirit which those who believed in him were going to receive. At that time, the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Some in the crowd heard him say this and they said, "This man is truly the prophet." Others said, "He's the Messiah." So there was a difference between the prophet, whom they thought was the prophet who would tell the people about the Messiah, and the Messiah himself. But others said, "The Messiah won't come from Galilee." And again, they were not completely right in that. "The scripture says," they said, "that the Messiah will be a descendant of King David and will have to be born in Bethlehem, the town of David." So there was a division amongst them because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but nobody could lay a hand on him. But Jesus didn't go around telling everybody, "Look here, by the way, everybody, I was born in Bethlehem, actually, not in Nazareth, so I fulfill the prophecies." That was not the approach he took, trying to prove who he was by clever fulfillment of Bible prophecy, even though he was the fulfillment of those prophecies. We may inquire why he didn't do that, and I think it's because who he is as a person, his perfection, his love, that was what was and is intended to convert people. So when the guards returned, the chief priests and Pharisees asked them, "Why didn't you bring him?" The guards replied, "Because no man ever spoke as this man speaks." So you see, as I said, that is what persuaded people, not some smart fulfillment of prophecy. "So are you also deceived?" the Pharisees asked them. "Have you known even one Pharisee or one senior Jew who has believed in him? This crowd who does not know the law are cursed." Well, they weren't completely right, and John's Gospel goes on to say this. One of the Pharisees there was Nicodemus, the man who'd come to see Jesus before by night. And Nicodemus said to the others, "We cannot condemn a man according to our law before hearing him and finding out what he's done." "Huh," they said, "are you also from Galilee? Search the scriptures and see that no prophet ever came from Galilee." And again, they were wrong because Jonah came from Galilee. These people were so confident that they knew the scriptures, and really, they didn't.